The Man in Line with Andy Witt. Men's Radio.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Mates Radio. We're open line through till 1 today, so call 66 1368, text 166 177, email studio at matesradio.com. Lots of comments yesterday we didn't get to. A lot of it was concerning the assisted dying proposed legislation that's on the way, and reactions to it as well. And also there was a meeting on, or a lecture, if you like, on Tuesday night at the Manx Museum. Assisted dying should be the concern of the patient and the doctor, says Mike. It's too much. It's nobody else's business. Too many NIMBYs on the Isle of Man. Does that affect assisted dying? Anyway, that's Mike's opinion. It's the concern of the patient and the doctor. And if the legislation comes in, then it's the business of the patient and the doctor. Andy said, I'm against assisted dying. Medical science and eugenics throughout history has never affected, has only ever affected the poor and the vulnerable. I also sense it's more of a cost-saving exercise and little to do with compassion and empathy. That's Andy's opinion. There was much opinion yesterday aired on this. I understand, says Terry, I understand the arguments for assisted dying, but I can also see that once in place, the vulnerable, infirm and the elderly will feel an obligation to die. This is Terry's opinion. Through austerity, society has become cold and callous. Less money about at the moment than the Treasury Minister comes up with this. Well, he came up with it. I don't think it's with his Treasury hat on. In fact, I know it's not. It is a private member's bill for this. But thanks for your opinion, Terry. Here's Wilf with us first now. Hi, Wilf.
Hi. It's just... just my thoughts on population increase.
Yeah.
When they're talking about, what is it, 15,000 people or something. Well, it's all been said about getting a doctor, getting a dentist, all that sort of thing. We know all about that. My thing is, I come down through Parliament Street on last Saturday. Well, I'm saying I come down through it. I think it took me 10 minutes to get down through it. There was that many cars, and then round on the quay, the same thing. It was gridlocked in Ramsey. No parking left. And my thought is, 15,000 people, would that be 15,000 more cars? I think if you're going to have all these people and all these cars, government needs to be making more roads. And the thing is, of course, they can't afford that, so that's not going to happen. And I think the way things are going, people won't want to come to the Isle of Man to live because they've got all that across now. They come here for the quieter life and they're not going to get it. That's just my thought on it, that's all.
I'm just trying to work out, is the biggest car park in Ramsey, is it the ShopRite one, or as it'll be Tesco now, is that the biggest one, or is it the Co-op?
Yes, the ShopRite one. The Co-op one is only about, oh, I don't know, a quarter the size of the main one.
Yeah.
And they're always full. So, I mean, on Saturday, the whole quay was full, right from one end to the other, and the whole street was full. All parking was taken up there. Even the disabled parking was taken up. And there was one car after another going down at 5 miles an hour, looking for somewhere to park.
Yeah.
And here we are going to... Well, I don't know. 15,000 more people. Whether that will be 15,000 more cars straight off, I don't know. But those people are going to have children. And then there's more cars. The whole Isle of Man's going to be gridlocked if they don't think about this.
So, you see, you've got, as you say, you've got the Co-op car park, you've got the ShopRite come Tesco car park, there's St. Paul's Square, there's the Market Square as well. And do they all get full?
All full. Well, the Market Square, I mean, I don't know, how long is that, 10 years ago or so? I was the only commissioner that voted against that. I've never seen a car park laid out so stupidly. Loads of pavements, trees, planting trees in the middle of pavements. I mean, if you look at a photograph off the marketplace just a few years ago, you could drive on and off any direction you wanted.
Yeah, yeah.
And get far more cars on it. Now we've got a roundabout that we didn't need. We've got one way past the church, which we didn't need. I've never seen anything so ridiculous in my life.
Yeah, well, no, I must admit that when it was, if you like, free form, you could easily park there, and as you say, more cars used to get on there.
That's right. And the way it happened was, all them years ago, our chairman, I won't say who it was because that'll drop in a minute, he come in, and before we started the meeting, he said, I've had a word with the government. I won't say who it was he had the word with, but I've had a word with the government, and they say, if we don't take what is offered to us, which is the regeneration of the marketplace, then we will go to the bottom of the queue, and then next time round, there might be no money to do it. And of course, I shouted out, good. They've half ruined the street now, so don't let them loose on the cap. Of course, they all went for it, except me. They all went for it, and look what we ended up with.
All right, okay.
You've never seen anything so stupid in your life.
Good to hear from you, Will. Thanks for that. I'll be up soon to look at that seaweed, by the way.
Okay. All right.
Cheers now. Let's go to Brian's with us as well. You waited very patiently yesterday, and we ran out of time, Brian. So welcome. You're on off and running now.
Okay. Well, I'll make a very quick observation on assisted dying from experience first. My mother was in Salisbury Street for almost 5 years, better known as £250,000 worth of care. When she went in, she was desperate to be allowed to pass on. All she ever insisted was, I don't want any pain, but I don't want to be here. Please take me and let me die peacefully. She pleaded like that for over 3 years. I got a contract done. The doctor interviewed her to assure himself that she was of sound mind. And he took that, and her wish was she wasn't to be taken to hospital for any reason, she wasn't to give any medication, and she just wanted pain relief. At the end of the 5 years, she didn't want to die at all. She wanted to live. So that makes me feel pretty bad, because I was the one that drew up the contract to give to the doctor. She did pass away, but I'm pleased to say, of natural causes, at the age of 99.
But you did the contract with the very best of intentions.
Well, I did, but I had the same problem with my father. My father was in Nobles Hospital. The doctor asked me, would I like to sign a do not resuscitate agreement on the grounds that he'd already had one stroke. He could never be as good as he was when he came in. He could only, if he did survive, he'd only be worse than he was originally. We went home that night because my mother had been with him for 48 hours and she couldn't last any longer. We called the following morning on strict instructions. They were going to let us know if his condition changed. We'd signed the do not resuscitate the night before. We went into his room. His room was empty. His bed was empty. My heart sank to the floor. And then I heard him laughing, and he was down the bottom of the ward, laughing and joking with somebody else in there, and he lived for another 10 years. So I'm sorry, do not resuscitate orders go against the grain for me. And assisted dying, if there's any possibility that a person might change their mind in a different frame of mind, then you have to think again.
And what you've said illustrates the fact that every case is individual. Every case is different, Brian.
Absolutely, and it annoys me when I hear people oversimplifying the situation, saying, oh, well, I wouldn't want to live like that. Well, there was a song many, many years ago about somebody that threw themselves off a building because they were the last person in the world alive, and you may remember the line, and as I passed the 11th floor, I heard the telephone ring, and that's the case here. You don't know how you're going to feel until you are there. And there are implications where people might be under pressure. I mean, I'll make no bones about it. Finding £5,500 a month to pay to adorn wasn't easy, and it didn't come out of the bank account happily, but it had to be paid for. There are a lot of people that might have other thoughts in that situation, and I could understand it, because you do see everything that they've worked for in their lifetime get vacuumed away very, very quickly.
Okay. And your other point today?
The other point. I was on about Brad and Commissioner's situation, and a lot of people have contacted me, and they're not grasping it. They don't understand. Government can't just step in and fix it. I could fix it very, very quickly. If everybody, man, woman and child in Braddon, were to give them £5,000 each, then that would sort of help their situation a little bit. I heard somebody say, well, if they get it finished, it can pay for itself. No, the projection is that it will earn £300,000 a year. But it costs £600,000 to service the interest. The situation is they can't get a valuation on the building. Well, the reason for that, reading between the lines, nobody wants to value the building because on a business marketplace, it's worth about £4 million. But they've spent £10.5 million so far, and it's not finished yet. So, yes, government might step in, but it's going to have to be paid for by you and me and tax and ratepayers. It's not going to magic this problem away. Now, if I had my way, in a perfect world, I would charge the Braddon ratepayers each to pay off this debt, but the ones that didn't bother to vote, they have to pay double because they really haven't got a say. Just because their rates have gone up, if they didn't bother themselves to see who was worth voting for, now that the people that got in without any scrutiny have made mistakes, well, so be it. You should pay for that. The people who did vote had to vote from a collection of people who really, nice though they might be, they really didn't understand what the heck they were doing, and they should never have involved themselves in such a capital scheme and commit all these people in Braddon to this major debt. And I am totally against them putting any of that debt onto my rates or asking me to pay it, because we're talking about serious increases in the rates for the next 30 years. This is a really serious situation, and it can't be magicked away.
And I don't think we're at the end of the story yet, Brian.
No, by a long way, by a long, long way. But we've had this. This isn't one on its own. This is just one of a collection of sad, sad situations the Manx Electricity Authority. They had to amalgamate all the authorities on the island, otherwise the MEA would have been technically bankrupt. They've had to use the assets from the water board and all the other authorities just so that they can show they've got the assets to cover the debts. Otherwise, they are bankrupt. And that is absolute nonsense. The steam packet situation, what business would spend millions on a new vessel and keep the old one they haven't really got a use for? You know, if you're buying a new car, most people are ready to sell off the old one. They don't keep it as a reserve in case the new one's no good. We're servicing the debt, and that second vessel, if you think you can park it up like a car in the garage and leave it, think again. It has to have crew 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It has to be insured, and it's not cheap. So all of this expenditure has eroded all of our reserves. The Isle of Man is in worse financial situation than it's ever been. All of our reserves have been vacuumed away. A change to our constitution slipped through very, very quietly during the COVID, which up until that point stopped them from budgeting for a deficit. They had to always cover their costs. Now they don't. They just keep running up debts. Silly. And Liverpool landing stage, what business in the world would commit to a level of cash expenditure and allow it to go up four times? What bank would not step in and say, well, no, I'm not lending you any more money, that your assets are so much, that's all you're having? You can't just allow people to keep putting the price of things up and up and up and up. The people we've got in power now, unfortunately, are very nice people, nice when they knock on your door, and like David Quirk, runs round and does the football and runs the people round the elderly person's complex and takes them out for days out. That doesn't qualify him to run any business, and government is business. So the people of the Isle of Man will have to start taking an interest and being educated about what is required. Otherwise, we'll be back on spuds and herring again.
All right. I appreciate your call today, Brian. Thanks for that.
Okay. Thanks very much, Andy.
Okay, cheers. 25 past 12, and Liz is with us. Hi, Liz.
Hello. Good afternoon. Well, what I'm going to complain about is small in comparison to Brian. I mean, can the people in Braddon afford to pay $5,000 each? Anyway, that wasn't what I rang up about. I got some tablets in Boots last week, and it's like an antihistamine. And I went to get a package for my sister yesterday, and this particular product has jumped up £2.50 in one go.
What's it called?
It's Fennigan. It's an antihistamine, and also you can help them to make you sleep. It's for against cat hair, as a travel sickness pills, and it can also help you to sleep because I don't sleep too good at night. And I got a package, $7.99, and I went in yesterday to get one for my sister, and has gone to £10.49. I couldn't believe it. £2.50 in one go. That is really a hike, isn't it?
That's the cost of living, Liz, isn't it? Everything seems to be going up.
Yeah, go up £5, £10, but not £2.50 in one go. I mean, that is totally ridiculous. I think the people in the shops and whatnot, they're just totally greedy. Everything has just gone up so much. So it has. Deals used to be £1.20. There's very little you can get in there for £1.20 now. Well, a lot of the things have gone way up. say. I do a lot of price comparison because I do shopping for some couple of people that can't get out, you know, and I try and buy, get the best deals for them, you know, save them some money because they're elderly people. But, I mean, I just think people are just ripping everybody off, so they are. Okay, no problem.
Okay, thanks for that, Liz. Appreciate your call. I suppose the advice is to shop around. The old wooden scoreboard is in storage. The TT scoreboard is in storage. It was the metalwork that had rotted away. It'll be like the prom never got finished. And it was asked the other day about what's happening to the scoreboard. Are we getting a new scoreboard? Well, it's down to Treasury, really. Treasury has to approve the expenditure for a new scoreboard. Mention was made of whether or not you could get commercial sponsors to put a new scoreboard. But also, and I'm sure perhaps you can correct me on this, but I'm sure that the current grandstand has got a lifespan. I mean, they were talking about a new grandstand a few years ago and what could happen to it and what the shape will be, whether or not there'd indeed be a tower on top of the grandstand. So lots of messages in regarding what's going to happen to the tower and to the grandstand. And hopefully we'll get in. Well, Sarah Maltby obviously has now been moved to Enterprise and she's responsible for motorsport. Trevor said, I contacted a political member who was responsible for motorsport at the Department for Enterprise and asked, will there be a new scoreboard for TT 2024? The reply is, replacing the scoreboard is not under active consideration at present. So what next, says Treasurer? We're turning the control tower into flats, selling the paddock to Dandara. We're going to put a used car lot in the pit lane. Has anybody in DfE got an interest in the TT? All right, thanks for that. Good to hear from you. Well, perhaps they do have an interest, and we obviously wait to hear from them as we get closer and closer to that time. Kate in Onken said, just letting you know that regarding the school not allowing children to go to the toilet during lessons, my child has said that even when you're allowed to go, you have to look around the school for a toilet to be open and unlocked for you to use. No wonder so much time is lost. Well, I think the rule at Ballacameen is it's not that that students can't go to the toilet. They have to ask and there has to be a particular reason while they go because they're basically saying that too much time is being lost with this. Have you seen the fact that next Wednesday, two big things next Wednesday, we are broadcasting live from St. Ninian's. It must have been a year since we've been at St. Ninian's. Live with the students of St. Ninian's next Wednesday, but also Queen Camilla is going to be with us as well, visiting the Isle of Man as she officially declares Douglas to be a city. There's going to be a ceremony at Douglas City Hall. It seems strange not calling it the Town Hall. Douglas City Hall, Wednesday 20th, after which she's going to unveil a commemorative plaque before meeting well-wishers outside. She's then going to Government House, where she'll be introduced to a number of representatives from charities and community groups as well. So Queen Camilla. Obviously, I would imagine, reading between the lines, that it would have been King Charles who would have been coming. I'm trying to remember the last time when he was Prince Charles, he officiated over Tynwald Day a few years ago, maybe 10 years ago. My relatives in Amsterdam know nothing about this so-called mass slaughter that somebody's found on a conspiracy website. So I would expect that a sister dying will be dealt with in a clinic, not by GP. Switzerland also seems to have a system that works well. How do you justify making terminally ill people suffer unnecessary pain against their will? Having to watch loved ones suffer in pain for months can also damage the family's mental health and good memories of the person. Now, claims about this are inaccurate and verging on hysteria. A sister dying will be a service in the background, like abortion, says texter 768. We had people imagining pregnant women will be dragged to have abortions against their will. It doesn't happen. I don't find the terminology suicide shocking. That's what it is, says 768. I also find it amusing that people use the word shock. So, well, thank you, 768. Again, everybody's got an opinion on this. It really is a very personal matter. And as Brian said, well, you heard Brian's story about his mother. First of all, she was in the frame of mind where she didn't want to be resuscitated. Over 5 years, she changed her mind. Thanks also to just letting to you know this. Kate and Onken, your message has come through again. Thanks for that. Also, I wonder why Douglas Beach has been cleaned up. Ah, perhaps this is it. It's not for our benefit. It's for the royal visit. Do you think Queen Camilla will be walking? She'll be parading? She'll be gambling down Douglas Promenade next Wednesday? Maybe she won't have time. Thanks also to 235. Yes, we've cleared that up with Queen Camilla. She's going to be at Douglas City Hall, then off to Government House with the Lieutenant Governor. Thank you. Never a better analysis has been put by Brian today, says Paul. Totally on the button the way things are on the island and the quality of people running Team Isle of Man. Well said, Brian. Thank you, Paul. 715. Well, can I just say something? The quality of politicians surely reflects the voters. And I take responsibility for this because I vote whenever my opportunity arises, be it in local or national elections. I always vote and I try and meet the politicians who are going to be representing me and get a feel of, you know, how they're going to cope. If we have politicians who can't cope, whose fault is that? Is that the politician or is it the person who puts them there? Has been said in the past, you get the politicians you deserve. So if perhaps you have a low opinion of the politicians that we have, national and local, it's worth asking, whose fault is that? There is an opportunity to rectify the situation. Of course, if you think that the politicians are incapable, incompetent, rubbish, perhaps stand yourself next time. In a little over 2 years, there will be another general election. Remember, the politicians had the guts and the fibre to stand for election. It's not easy putting yourself into the public arena during all the canvassing and the questioning, sometimes the abuse that you get. So they put themselves forward to serve the public. And somebody voted for them. And perhaps that was you. John on 557. Andy, well said, Brian. Business people are required to run government business. Brian talks very well, says Derek. Make him chief minister, 505. Got to get into Keys first, but then again, that's only 2 and a bit years away. Thanks also to, we have to keep the Ben McCree because the Manxman isn't reliable, says 068. And if the MEA was nearly bankrupt, have they got the funds to install smart meters on the Isle of Man? Well, the situation with the Ben McCree is the Sea Services Agreement says that we have to keep the Ben McCree at the moment. Perhaps that was why the Treasury Minister last week said we need to simplify the Sea Services Agreement. The Steam Packet Company, arm's length company, sole shareholder Treasury, has to have permission to sell the Ben McCree. Now, do you think we should sell? I mean, already there's talk about Caledonian McBrain wanting the Ben McCree. The Scottish state-owned ferry company wanting the Ben McCree. So that could happen. If the Ben McCree goes, we are then down to Manannan, the fast craft that was in Liverpool recently, and the Arrow, which is the cargo vessel. So we then have three vessels. The Manxman, Manannan, and the Arrow. Currently, as Brian quite rightly said, Ben McCree sits periodically down in Douglas Harbour, has to have crew on board, as Brian said, has to be insured. And that's a cost. So what do you think we should do? Tony's with us now. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Andy. I just heard that bit. There's an easy solution. Lease it out for 3 months until after the summer. And then you'll have a time to decide what to do.
Well,
they've done it before.
They used to do that with the Lady of Man. She used to go to Madeira for the winter.
So my question is, why haven't they done it this time? You know, I wasn't phoning up about that, but in general, the government is useless because they're not doing what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to manage and question the departments, and they're not doing any of that. Whatever the department says, they say, oh, yeah, we'll do that, fine, and then make excuses as to why it's wrong. The problem is that we are not run by the government. We're really run by a bunch of departments who have no faces. So DOI, for instance, can make mistakes, and then nobody ever gets blamed. I thought Alf Cannon was supposed to be fixing DOI, and yet we still have three-ring circuses where, OK, we've ordered a new boat, which is too big, so we'll have to fix something. Oh, my word, the bottom of the harbour is deeper than we thought, so we can't put the pilings into bedrock. I mean, it beggars belief. You know, an engineering student would have thought of all that, but nobody at the DOI can. So we need to start looking at the DOI with critical gaze and say, what are you actually doing other than making ideas that don't work? I just think that's what the government or the management of the government should be looking at. It's useless. The whole government doesn't do anything except point at something else to distract you. Assisted dying is really, okay, I want to commit suicide, which I don't have a problem with. It's better than stepping out in front of a bus. But the issue is, the UK is now looking at this, so why are we chasing after it? Why don't we let the UK do it first, and then we can just adopt it? But that would be far too difficult for us to do. We want to spend time making our own laws, instead of just adopting what's across. I mean, it just beggars belief. There is no vision within the government, and the departments are not well run, and they're paid an arm and a leg. I mean, you've now got somebody working in the UK, and we're paying for them to be on a board. I mean, it's just, what part of madness is not there? Why are they doing that?
One of the definitions of democracy is, was it Abraham Lincoln? Government of the people, by the people, for the people. It sounds very simple. What do you think has gone wrong?
Well, I think the first thing is that the government, including all the ministers, from Laurie Hooper all the way through to the one who doesn't understand spreadsheets, the doctor, I think all of them are just doing whatever their department tells them. That's the first thing. So you've got a situation where health, it doesn't work. Loads of people will tell you it doesn't work. There are a few instances where it does work, but their solution has been to outsource everything, and we'll bring in bank people to fill the holes. That's not a long-term solution. But there is no plan, as far as I can see, and they certainly don't ever tell us their plans, because then we'd be able to know what they're doing, they say they're going to do. There is no clearness on what it, or clarity on who's responsible for what and who's doing what. So the government should be questioning what their departments are up to. The only one I've ever seen who actually takes an interest and tries to learn what's going on is David Ashford. He's the only one that researches anything. The rest of them just do what they're told. So we're not being managed by a government who we've elected. We're being managed by unelected people in departments. So the first thing I would do, get a large axe and start cutting, because we don't need all these extra people. The first thing for the health service, get rid of Manx Care, because it doesn't do anything except spend money like water and then ask for more money. And the idea that we should have two boards, a DHSC and then a health board, is why would we need that? Because somebody said in a report, and bear in mind the person writing the report is a civil servant, that we should have two because we can employ more civil servants that way. We need to get rid of half the civil servants and ask the ones that are there, who are very, very good at their jobs, some of them, but their management is appalling. We need to get rid of the people that are deadweight and don't do what they're supposed to do, and keep the ones and pay them more money for the work that they do do. We're spending hours and days and weeks and months in DOI designing bridges that we don't need, that are not necessary. Everything in government for the next 15 years will have to be what is essential, not what's nice to have. And Mr. Wannaberg was one of the ones that said, we're going to get rid of all these projects. And since he's got in, I don't hear him saying that.
Okay. All right, Tony, thanks for calling today.
Over to you, Andy.
All right.
Get after them. Tony,
18 minutes to one.
The only radio station that's Manx, and we're proud of it. Celebrating 60 years... This is Manx Radio.
Your home's got more style with Lifestyle Furniture. More luxurious beds, more sumptuous sofas, more beautiful living and dining furniture, plus made-to-measure curtains and blinds, art, accessories, lighting, and more. Visit our main showroom at Snugborough Trading Estate, Union Mills, or pop into our second home at Tynwald Mills, St John's, for boutique collections and exclusive designer brands. For everything your home's been waiting for and more, it's your Lifestyle Furniture.
Would you consider leaving a gift in your will to Hospice Isle of Man? As a charity, we need to raise millions every year just to continue providing our services. Your support means that we can give our care to all those who need it, when they need it, completely free of charge. If you're considering making a will or adding a hospice donation to your will, please give us a call to find out more on 672222. Every penny raised makes a huge difference to every individual and family who needs us. Thank you.
Easter Sunday and Monday bring the family to the Groudle Glen Railway Easter Bunny trains from 10 to 4:30. Catch the train from Len Cowan Station and see the Easter Bunny at the Sea Lion Rocks Tea Rooms with tea, coffee, orange juice and free Easter eggs for the children. Enter our free Easter egg hunt to win a £50 voucher for Ocean Views Bar and Grill and a giant Easter Bunny teddy. Tickets must be purchased in advance at ggr.org.uk. Supported by your nation station, Manx Radio.
The previous message was brought to you by QVH, the island's premier serviced offices and co-working space in the heart of Douglas. Call 639 940 for more information or visit qvhpremieroffice.com.
With the 80s mixtape gearing up for a one-year anniversary, we've got a brand new prize to give away. If you have a go at our weekly 80s-themed quiz, What's She Talking About?, you could be off to the newly refurbished Ginger Hall in Sulby to enjoy Sunday lunch for two.
The 80s mixtape with Ruth Shimon.
Sunday morning at 10 here on Manx Radio.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Steve's on now. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Andy. Thanks for taking the call. I'd like to start by saying that I completely respect the views of the people who are against assisted dying, and ultimately everyone involved in this would and should have a choice. I'm a great believer in what your beliefs are now at a stage in your life are very much formed by what you've experienced and learned experience in the past. I'll tell you a little story. When I was 11, my mother took a job as a matron in a nursing home. As a result of that, she was a single parent, and we moved with her to live in this building. So not ideal, but obviously we experienced a lot as a result of that. One of the things that stuck with me for the rest of my life was listening to elderly, frail people in terrible pain and distress at all times of the day and night. Listening to them and overhearing conversations where these people would beg my mother to make it quick, let them go, assist with their dying, for want of a better expression. My mother in later years told me that one of her great regrets was the fact that she couldn't actually do anything to help these people, even though she'd signed on the dotted line to be a nurse and to ease suffering. She wasn't allowed to intervene. Obviously, that will have influenced my decision. I would never, ever want to be in that position where I was that elderly person, I was in that pain and distress, and I had no way of recourse, of remedy to ease the suffering. And really, I feel strongly about it as those who obviously have a view against the assisted dying bill. I do recall about 18 months ago, I wrote about this. I wrote a long paragraph to Dr. Allenson explaining my feelings and telling very much the story that I'm telling there.
So, as you say, this is what happened to you when you were younger informs your view of it now. I mean, I'll become clean with you, Steve. I can't find a way through this because I just think this is so personal to everybody. You know, we heard the tale that Brian said earlier on about his mother changing her mind because she had a good experience. But this is legislation we're talking about, and you know, we're warned about mission creep with legislation and secondary legislation coming in. What do you think the government here should do?
There should be the best practice from all of the other jurisdictions in the world where this situation is permitted. All of the learning from anything that is a detriment where there has been learning should be taken into account. And it should be obviously very, very carefully considered. There is the situation that Brian discussed in respect of making sure people have capacity and understanding of the decisions that they're making. There really has to be nailed on that when people make these decisions, they can make the decision, but by the same token, as in Brian's very sad case, should they change their mind, then equally that has to be legislated for as well. And these things must only be permitted to happen with the greatest of scrutiny. And you would hope that in the compassionate modern world in which we live, all of these safeguards should clearly be in place. And I'm just eager to have the choice that, God forbid, I'm ever in that situation and I suffer from a degenerative disease, or I suffer an accident where I'm left in terrible pain. I really want to have that choice as to what my destiny is. But obviously, for the sake of those who disagree, for whatever reason, I, as I said at the beginning of the call, I utterly respect their point of view. Mm. All of these things have to be done with due diligence and great, great care. I just come on to say that, and that's only my experience. I'm sure other people will have had personal experience of very similar.
I appreciate it.
I would never, ever, ever want to be in that position of those elderly people. And yeah, that's why I feel so strongly about it. So that's my two pence anyway. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it, Steve. Thanks for calling today. It's 10 to 1 now.
This is the Isle of Man talking. The man in line.
Preparing to leave school soon and thinking about the future, or maybe looking to reskill? University College Isle of Man offer a variety of full and part-time further education level courses, or earn while you learn through an apprenticeship. Courses include engineering, arts, sports, hairdressing, childcare and business, plus science, forensics, animal management, healthcare and more. Earn valuable qualifications and skills that will set you up for a successful future. Visit ucm.ac.im to find your perfect course.
Whether you're fitting out a business office or looking for a stylish home office, you'll find excellent choice at Office World, the island's largest display showroom of office furniture, with a huge array of desk configurations including height adjustable and bench options, plus seating in mesh, fabric and vinyl finishes, along with a myriad of storage solutions, from filing cabinets to bookcases and cupboards. Find all this and so much more at Office World on Spring Valley Industrial Estate. Office World!
Hello, I'd like to rent a car for 3 days. Just something reasonable.
No problem at all. We've just got a few rules to make you aware of. You can't go off-island, you can't smile in the car, you can't take any friends, it's £10,000 a day. Oh, and you'll need £1 million deposit up front. Any questions?
Renting a car doesn't need to be so difficult or expensive. With prices from just £50 per day, speak to Rex Rental Company or book online at rexrental.im.
Rex Rentals. I'm so glad to hear that.
On Perspective last week, economist John Webster identified significant areas for improvement in the island's economic policies. He marked the Treasury Minister's card with "Could do better, see me after the lesson." Members of the Chamber of Commerce were particularly concerned in their assessments of February's budget and its impacts on their businesses. The recently released tax strategy has been criticised in many quarters for being very light in substance. On Perspective this Sunday at 12 noon on Manx Radio, Treasury Minister Alex Allenson joins me, Phil Gaughan, to respond to some of the criticisms. Should we be grateful for being asked to pay more tax for improved services?
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
And John's with us now. Hi, John.
Hi, Andy. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. Yeah.
Just to respond to some of the callers earlier, I think it was Howard up in Ramsey talking about the parking and cars and how difficult it's going to be with bringing in 15,000 extra people. I would suggest he doesn't worry about it. All he has to do is look at the net zero document, and it tells you that people won't be having cars by 2030, so that's that problem solved. Brian, I think it was, I absolutely agree with him wholeheartedly, but again, I would say don't worry about the cost of the ships or anything else, simply because, again, the net zero document, nobody will be traveling, and once they bring in the digital currency, don't worry about the money because the government will just have it all. So from that point of view, you know, the government has sorted everything for everyone, if that's the way they want to go. But then he talks about, you know, these people in power, shall we say, shouldn't be there. So I agree with him in that sense. But then how do we deal with that? Well, my view is, okay, let's ask the people who they want in government. Who would they want as chief minister out of the current MHKs? Personally, let's start it off. I would say either Stu Peters or Tim Glover. I see Manx Radio's got a little poll, should we say, on what's important to the people. Perhaps Manx Radio could put on a little something of who the people would like as chief minister.
So you think we should have a series of referendums?
Well, look what's happened in Ireland. Yeah, because what is the purpose of government, Andy? Is it to run roughshod over the population? I mean, it seems all backwards to me. Why do we go and vote? What are we voting for? If MHKs, politicians, whatever you want to call them, whichever country they are, just do whatever they want to do. So why do we waste our time going to vote then?
And so, I mean, again, we don't often talk about places apart from the Isle of Man, but would you say that Mr. Varadkar misjudged the mood of the Irish people?
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. You know, well, this is what we're going to do, and you're going to, you know, accept it. But then the referendum said, absolutely not. And I think that's what should happen here in the island. You know, I think it was Brian who said, you know, the MHKs and the government are absolutely useless. Some of the department people are pretty good. But it's the civil servants telling the MHKs or the ministers what to do. So let's just say the assisted dying. So if that went, you know, to the people in a referendum, well, that's telling the civil servants and the politicians what the people want. So the civil servants can't behind the scenes run things. That's one way of doing it.
Years ago, MHKs weren't paid a lot of money at all. In fact, at one point, it was just expenses. But it was said at the time that only rich men, and it was just men in those days, only rich businessmen could afford to be MHKs. And so salaries were brought in so that everybody, it was a living wage, so that everybody, if they wanted, could become an MHK. I mean, you're not suggesting we go back to the old days where only the rich and powerful became politicians?
No, what I'm suggesting is that decisions like the assisted dying or the bishop or buying a new boat or selling the boat or, you know, having companies at arm's length like the Douglas Corporation, whatever they call it, you know, all of those should be to the people. You know, you have a referendum. Do you want the assisted dying boat? Yes or no? Do you want a new boat? Yes or no? And that, in my view, would solve an awful lot of problems. And then we would know the truth, so to speak, because the decision's been made by the people. We won't get wishy-washy answers like we've got from Alf Cannon saying, oh, well, I can't publicise this because everything will be redacted and then you won't be able to understand it. You know, so from that point of view, the decision is made for them. They come up with the ideas, if you like. But if it's such a ridiculous idea, people say no.
Is this happening anywhere in the world, John?
Well, yeah, it's happening in Ireland. It's happened in Ireland. It's happened in Switzerland, where they recently have a referendum on something to do with joining some parts of the EU, and they said, no, we're not doing it. They put in a thing in there, in whatever you call it, into Switzerland, where they're going to stop the population at, I think it was 10 million, I can't remember the figures. You know, so you can't just have an influx of immigrants. So when the population reaches 10 million, that's it, no more.
Okay, all right, we appreciate John. Thanks for calling today.
All right, you're welcome, take care.
Good to hear from you. 3 minutes before one. Now, assisted dying, says Texter 218. Why aren't people getting this? The proposed bill is for the terminally ill only, and that's period, says Texter 218. That's it. Back with another open line tomorrow. Monday, Ramsey constituency MHKs, Laurie Hooper and Alex Allenson. Next Wednesday, St Ninian's High School students will be live on Man in Line. Thanks to Chris Quirk on the phones today.
WINT.